Welcome to a top five edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down the top five triangles in daytime. It should be fun, so stay tuned. Whatever.
It does. You know, you get to an intro and you can't even string a coherent sentence together.
It's part of my personality charm, so bug off. Well, joining me today, we have Jamie. Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, well, apparently I'm in trouble. Also, we have Mike. Welcome.
Hi.
And Tina. Welcome.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm in a little bit of trouble, folks, because what I forgot to mention to the members of this podcast before we started recording it was that this is actually a redo or a re-record of an episode that we recorded previously. So due to popular requests, we are counting down the top five triangles again. Well, needless to say, the members of this podcast aren't too happy with me because they couldn't think of anybody currently, and they had to completely redo their list because everybody on their list was past triangles. So we will see how this goes. I may come through it a little bit harmed and a little bit in danger. So we'll see how this goes. Jamie, who do you have at number five?
Well, you've been trying forever to get us to stick to current, so I guess we're forced. My number five is Adam, Crystal, and Tad on All My Children. They're pretty much the closest thing that show has to a traditional triangle, where when I think of a triangle, I think of someone actually being torn between two people they actually have chemistry with and love. We see a lot of those pairings on daytime right now, but there's not much chemistry and not much love. But I do feel that Crystal genuinely loves both men. Her heart lies with Adam, but Tad is the safe, sensible choice. Which that's a sad fact that Tad Martin is now gone from being Tad the Cad to being the safe, sensible choice. That's sad in and of itself, but that's my number five, Adam, Crystal, and Tad.
Tina, who do you have at number five?
Well, you know, you said triangles, but you didn't say traditional. So my number five is Sonny, Jason, and Carly.
Ooh, good choice.
Do tell, my dear Tina. Do tell.
Well, we all know Sonny always wants Carly, and Sonny wants Jason. I mean, in the end, there's something between Sonny and Jason that just can't be denied. Maybe they should just give into it and be done with it and get off our screens.
Quite literally become each other's best man. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay. Mike.
Yes.
What do you have at number five, oh wise
number
one?
Number five. I'm going to start with the Young and the Restless, our five-day-a-week friend Gloria, anyone with money who is a doppelganger. That seems to be her favorite triangle.
And the scenery.
First it was John Abbott.
It's chewy.
Right. Yeah, that goes without saying. First she was with John Abbott. Got some money. Then she was with the first, what's his name? Not Jeffrey.
William.
Bardwell. William Bardwell. She knocked him off. She lost her money. Then Alistair came in who looked like John. And Jeffrey came in who looked like his brother William. And she lost her money after she married him, got divorced. He gave her money back. She got remarried. Yeah, she's like a comedy of errors. So she's my number five.
She's a comedy of something. I'm not sure you'd quite be errors would be the word to describe it. Love me some Gloria. Coming in at number five for me is the Chancellor Abbott Fisher Baldwin fight for Jabot that is just picking up right now. I was watching Young and the Restless today, and it was one of those things where.
Hold up.
How is that a triangle?
Because I'm about to explain it to you. I'm about to explain this to you.
Luke's rules, everybody.
We
Luke's
make
rules.
The rules up as we go along.
No, I would maintain that these rules have been quite standard since I've first started publishing this podcast.
You're right. There are no rules except when Luke decides to spout them.
How do families go into a triangle, Luke? Do tell us.
Well, this is what I'm trying to explain, but you guys would not give me the opportunity. We learned that Jill is going to be taking and trying to take over Chancellor from her mother. And we also learned that Gloria is going to be trying to steal Jabot from Jill. And so it all comes down to the fact that the Abbott family, Jack is starting to make his moves to try and get Jabot back. Gloria is starting to try and make her moves to get Jabot. And Jill is basically trying to steal Jabot and Chancellor from Catherine. And I think that if this plays out the way it looks like it could, we could be in for a great summer, and I cannot wait to see which of these three families ends up on top.
So this is top five storylines. As opposed to top five triangles.
Not necessarily. Top five. I still maintain it's a triangle.
All right, people, write in, you know, let Luke know that it does not qualify as a triangle.
In fact, we start
calling Burger King Chick-fil-A, and it's just going to be so.
We would encourage you to leave your comments about this episode or any other episode on our comment line at 917-677-9757. Pick on me if you want, or pick on Jamie for his number four pick.
Oh, that was the best segue you've done since we started this. My number four is not a triangle, but I don't feel that bad about it anymore because they are actually people involved in romantic pairings. It's Days of Our Lives, Chloe, Lucas, Sammy, EJ, Nicole, Philip, Morgan. Wow, I remember when it got complicated in soaps when they started going to the quadrangle. I don't even know what to call this. This is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, an octa-angle. It's
Octagon.
Also called the writers don't know what the hell they're doing with all these characters. They have all these women who are basically the same archetype, Sammy, Nicole, and Chloe. They have all these guys who are the same archetype, villains. And then they have Morgan, a Southern Belle version of Sammy. Get it together, Dina. I had your back, but you're losing me.
Okay. Tina, who do you have at number four?
Well, my number four is from One Life to Live, and it's David, Addie, and Dorian.
That's my number four.
David loves Dorian, and David loves Addie's money. So, you know, and Dorian wants David, and she doesn't want Addie to have him. And it actually is almost a traditional triangle.
I totally agree. It's who I have at number four as well. But I'll comment that on that after Mike has an opportunity for his. What do you have, Mike?
Mine is not very exciting, but it's Katie, Bridget, and Nick on The Bold and the Beautiful. I think the only thing that remotely makes this interesting is that there's some history behind Nick and Bridget's long story and the fact that Katie is trying to take over and be like the girlfriend / tomboy-ish kind of person that Nick would like to have around. I just think it's going to create a lot of conflict and hopefully will result in some sort of personality change for Bridget.
Hell, that girl could use a triangle just to triangulate her personality.
Nick's just trying to bed that Beth. He's going to wait to see
the bouts of
that progressive propesia or whatever she's got.
You just know that it's going to end up being Nick and Beth and Brooke's dad. His name slips my mind.
Steven.
Bobby Ewing.
It's going to be a Patrick Duffy sandwich is what it's – wait, that didn't come out right.
No, that didn't come out right.
Okay.
Wow.
Luke's having problems with his triangles tonight.
Moving on.
I think you failed geometry.
So do I.
Whatever. Coming in at number four for me, as I mentioned earlier, is David, Addie, and Dorian. Dorian is in love with David. David wants Addie for her money. And Addie's more than happy to be in a relationship with him, even though they don't love each other. Meanwhile, Dorian is more furious or more interested in Addie being broken up from David than she is in love with David, at least from my perspective. So it's one of those things where you have the conflicting story arcs going, and I think it's actually a fairly traditional triangle, as Tina pointed out. I'm totally enjoying it. Addie's return has been nothing short of enjoyable for me. Jay, who do you have at number three?
I have Katie, Nick, and Bridget, because they are at least a triangle. I don't know why they're a triangle. I can't wait for Bridget to go Sheila Forrester and just go stark raving mad and kidnap all the other Logan women and force feed them beef for weeks at a time before Nick and Ridge burst in and save them. And then she's gunned down in a hail of bullets, not to die, but just to get her some good time in a funny farm. Because if there's any character on daytime do a nervous breakdown, it's Bridget. Every time she gets some guy, one of her family members snatches them away. And, I mean, come on. It's just time for them to write a guy in for Bridget that is not related or have dated one of the other Logans or Forresters. Please.
Totally agree with you. Totally, totally agree with you.
Now, Nick and Katie, I like. I like them. They have chemistry. Still icky because he's bedded her entire family. I'm sure Grandma's had a piece of that by now. But I do like them. They have chemistry. I am a fan of Nick and Katie.
Well, and what I don't understand is why they couldn't just bring a few things back to basics and get Thorn involved. It could be a Thorn-Katie-Nick triangle very easily, and that would be a lot more enjoyable than watching Bridget be duped once again.
Which, well, you know, Thorn is going to happen.
Thorn back in the action period. These soaps need to just go ahead and play a game of Red Rover. Thorn needs to be in a storyline that can fill that hole by sending Katie off somewhere else, and magically she'll end up back in Genoa City as Victoria Newman, where she belongs. And then they can get the show back to business. They can get the Forresters back front and center, diminish the Logans, you know.
Anyways. Well, maybe they could just have a drunk Taylor sandwich and have Thorn, Taylor,
it's time for
Britt.
Taylor to sober up. That'll be. I'll talk about that in the B&B episode. But
okay,
no, time for old Taylor to go back on the wagon.
Okay. Tina, who do you have at number three?
Well, speaking of funny farms, my number three is Lulu, Logan, and Johnny. And they've definitely just going to end up putting Lulu in the funny farm. Hopefully she stays there for a while.
No way. Love me some Lulu. Get your mobster booty, Lulu.
See, I think you're right. I think that her in a funny farm and plays into her history and the fact that they're building up her insecurities about turning into her mother. Isn't that every child's greatest fear, to turn into your parent?
Well, there's two, you know, girls have two greatest fears. One, that they're going to turn into their parents, and two, that they're going to find a man that's just like their father.
I thought girls went after their father.
I was going to say, that's what I thought.
No. Most girls, what they do is they try to find a man who's nothing like their father and inevitably choose one that is just like their father.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Apparently we learned a little bit about relationship advice today. Mike?
Yes.
What do you have at number three?
I will go with Days, Daniel, Chelsea, and I'm going to throw Kate under the bus because I think Daniel and Kate are smoking together more than Chelsea and Daniel. And I know Nikki's going to hate me, but I just think from the first time they met, I saw more chemistry between them than when I saw with Daniel and Chelsea. So as much as and plus I like Kate a lot more than I like Chelsea. And I think I would like to see her get a little something from the doctor.
I've always maintained that Kate needs a boy toy. When Brandon Beamer was still on the show as Sean, him as her boy toy would have been great.
Well, she needs a guy with a couple of bucks, and Daniel's a doctor, and he's got money. So, you know, that kind of works.
Don't even get me started on the fact that they've made Kate poor. It drives me nuts. She used to be wealthy and powerful, and now she's someone who's basically waiting for a social security check to come in.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why she and Daniel have more heat. They both have subscriptions to AARP. And, I mean, they, hey, Lauren Coslow looks better than half the women on Daytime, but they are a lot older than Chelsea. She's over there reading Tiger Beat. And, yep. You know, I mean, come on.
She's learning Spanish with Dora.
She's learning how to run over little babies. And
okay, Nikki is still going to kill us.
Watch, she knows how I feel about that Nikki. Snapping turtle.
Wow.
Okay. I don't like the snapping turtle. Great actress, but horrible character.
Okay, well, coming in at number three for me is RoboJohn, his brains on a disc, and Marlena. Because we all know that darn well that if Marlena had her choice, she'd get those brains back as fast as possible, and John doesn't want them. So they're basically fighting over the same, well, man in this case. And so RoboJohn, his brains on a disc, and Marlena are my triangle at number three.
I cannot believe I gave up my golden top five for this.
I'm right there with you.
Jamie, who do you have at number three? Or
I can't believe I passed up an enema for this. My number two is Chloe Kane and Lily on Young and the Restless. Again, silly me. I'm just supposed to be finding triangles. I didn't know that I could have just said Dorian and her hat and the little dog had been done with it, but Chloe, Kane, and Lily are my number two, and that is only recently because they have really heated up with, I know a lot of people don't like it, but Chloe drugging that stupid boy, this just proves he is the new Austin Reed. Anybody who can be raped by more than one female, any man, is the stupidest human being on earth. I love the character, I love the actor, but I would be storming into the writer's room going, what are you doing with me? And you know I don't advocate actors doing anything with storyline, but come on. He's been raped by two women since he's been in this town? He's an idiot.
I don't think he was raped. I think she just made it look like that they slept.
Or she, well, molested by. Molested by him or
well,
whatever.
He's been set up by two women to make it look like he's slept
with. And what a commentary it is that a man could be set up not once, but twice in the same scam.
And maybe I'm wrong here because, I mean, I guess there are women out there who do this sort of thing, but all it's basically done is given Crystal Khalil the performance of, well, I won't say her career because I really enjoyed it back when she and Daniel were first getting together and she was fighting against Drew and Neil, but... Mm-hmm. I saw some spunk in her that I haven't seen in a long time when told Chloe that if she catches her out on the street, she's going to whoop that ass for her. I said, uh-oh, she's channeling Drew. So for the first time in a long time, I saw Drew's little girl in her. So if it took this wacky, doped up triangle to do it, hey, that's my number two.
And you just have to love Elizabeth Hendrickson because back from her days in All My Children when she was Maggie and Frankie, she just plays a schemer really well, and this is just playing to her strengths all the way, and I'm just loving it. Love Elizabeth Hendrickson. Tina?
Weird and doped up triangles. I like that one there, Jay.
That may be what the title of this episode is, Top 5 Weird and Doped Up Triangles.
All right. Number two, you said, right?
Yes.
Rex, Gigi, and Brody. Since, you know, Adriana is off screen, we just won't deal with her at all, and it's down to the three of them, and hopefully they get rid of Brody soon, and it'll be just down to two, and that will work for a little while until they break them up again. But
you're not a fan of Brody?
No. I don't like cardboard.
Cardboard what?
He's like cardboard on screen. Oh,
I thought I was waiting for more to come out like cardboard.
Well, to be fair, and I mean, this may sound more than a little ironic coming from me, but most of these actors, when they're brand new and never had an acting gig and are learning their stuff on soaps, you got to give them a little bit of time. Though not all of them deserve it. There are a few that don't, but Most of them do.
And I'm sure there are plenty of talented people who maybe don't even need the break-in time that some of these other people need.
Going back to theater schools and off-Broadway plays to find our talent instead of cattle calls at model agencies.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
Oh, I totally agree with you, but my only point would be is that when the first actress who played Colby was here, she wasn't so great, many people thought, when she started, but by the time she left, everybody loved her. Josh Duhamel, when he came on as Leo, was not that great of an actor, if you just want to call a spade a spade. Turned out to be a very good actor, went on to have a primetime series and star in giant blockbusters.
And that's all well and good for the actor, but it's not so well and good for somebody who's been watching for 100 years and has to
watch anybody learn how to act.
Right.
I want you to learn.
It gets tired after a while.
You're paying to watch your soaps?
Well, hell yeah, I pay.
Every day.
Hey.
If I don't pay my cable bill, they're going to cut it off.
And considering that pretty soon you're going to have, you know, cable converter type thing to, you know, even get a reception. It's not
like you can use rabbit ears. What do you think we do, Luke? We press the portion of our temple and the microchip Stefano implants in our head lets us watch them in our brain?
Well, I just assumed that you had antennas coming out of your head, Jamie. Mike, who do you have at number two?
Number two, I have a more reasonable triangle. It would be Lizzie, Bill, and Ava on Guiding Light. I think I meant reasonable as in, like, this one is actually a triangle that I like.
And... Oh, okay.
If anybody right. should be resentful, it should be me.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I had done a really good job of actually finding real triangles on screen.
Oh, you did. Jeez, but I figured there's only two out of my five that I actually seriously like, and this is one of them.
Okay.
Bill and Lizzie are hot together. Ava is the, you know, try-to-be trickster who broke them up. Bill, even though he knew that Ava was lying about the baby, still married her, so that's going to create a lot of tension between Ava and Bill and then Lizzie and Bill. So that's going to be one couple that, even though they should be together, is going to be delayed in getting together somehow. So they're my number two.
Coming in at number two for me is an unorthodox couple, but fairly normal by comparison to my previous picks. And it's going to be pulling on a little bit of something that Jamie's talked about on Another World. And this, I believe it was Another World. It was either that or Santa Barbara. Basically, it's going to be Emily, Casey, and Margot. I think this is on As the World Turns. I think it's really shaping up to be probably one of the better triangles that we've seen in a long time. Emily and Casey are in love. Margot is doing everything in her power to come in between her son and the woman who she hates so much because she loves her son so much. And we don't often see quite as many blatant triangles where it's just a mom interfering purely. I mean, there's some characters that do it often, like Dorian on One Life to Live, but it's very unusual for someone like Margot to get so actively involved in trying to break up her son so that he can be safe and live in peace with her, if you want to put it that way. So those are my number two.
Jamie, I'll give you that. That's a good one.
Jamie, who do you have at number one?
Well, my number one isn't really in a triangle anymore, but they're probably still the show's most popular triangle, especially if you read our boards. It's Liaison, which is, of course, Liz and Jason, versus the ever-so-uninteresting J-Sam, Jason and Sam. you know, that's GH's money triangle, which you wouldn't know that by watching on screen anymore, since they don't get any airtime. But that is the best triangle they've had on that show. It re-energized me as a viewer. It hooked me because I'd been watching Liz kind of filter around on that show and have one-night stands and get knocked up for about a decade. And I could really take her or leave her after Jonathan Jackson left. But the moment she walked up those stairs, it was all over for me. I was the biggest Liz fan and Jason fan there could be, and I was so glad that he finally got some woman, a woman on his own that Sonny didn't dump on his doorstep like a bag of trash. But that being said, that bag of trash and him have a great fan base. So if that's not a triangle, I don't know what it is.
Welcome to the party, but, you know, most of us just call it a quad and leave it at that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I must go ahead and give major kudos. And I love these actors, so please don't send me, oh, God, how could you say that? I'm not talking about Kelly Monaco. Love her. And I love Lou Sam. I never thought that I would, because Lucky, I hated Lucky after that storyline. And a lot of, they wrote him into the ground. I mean, he became a misogynistic, yelling at his wife, pig of a man. But he, Greg Vaughn and Kelly Monaco smoke. And they're so hot together. So I just wish they had a storyline.
It does say a lot, though, that a triangle in this day and age that can hold viewers' attention for 10 years is pretty good. I mean, most people have the attention span of a flea. So if you can hold that thread through for a decade...
Well, yeah, well, this triangle really didn't go... This triangle is only like a couple of years old. Her history with the two guys, Liz's history with the two guys dates back 10, 12, mm-hmm. you know, years. But
right.
this triangle's pretty fresh, but, you know.
But, you know, they've done a good job of just substituting one Bimbette after another into Jason's life to, you know, perpetuate the triangle. Mm-hmm.
For him to rescue from something else. You know, he rescued Courtney from AJ. He rescued Carly from herself. He's still rescuing Carly from herself well into their 40s. You know, but
he rescued Sam from, you know, Sunny and her own stupidity. And
did
you know,
ever get that GED? Speaking of stupidity,
I don't believe so.
Get that GED that she moaned and whined and ugh. I'm so glad they're not writing Sam like that anymore. I mean, she's tolerable now that she's not a whiny wimpy sitting on that couch eating Bon Bon's mess. So that's my number one liaison versus
Jason. Hey, now that every single Sam fan on the planet is pissed off at us. Tino?
No, you, I think.
I keep it real, Luke.
Okay. Well, Luke, honey, you have no one to blame but yourself because that triangle probably would not have even been mentioned if it wasn't current.
Really? Because they would not have been on my top five.
Touche. Tina, who do you have at number one?
My number one is from One Life to Live, and it's Tess, Natalie, and Jared.
Oh, great one.
It's not a love triangle. It's more of a hate triangle. But, you know, who knows what's going to come out of that by the time it's done. You always get into issues when you have two sisters and, you know, interested in the same guy, albeit for different reasons. You know, it's never going to work out well.
I totally agree. I think that the three of them have been, well, were great. Mike?
My number one is Carly, Holden, and Lily. Because what's coming up is going to put these three into a place where they probably never expected to be. As much as it skeeves me out that Holden and Carly are screwing around, it's like one of those things you can't help but get involved in. And the fact that Lily is going to find out what happens is going to make it all that much better. So it's something to look forward to for me. So I picked them as my number one. They're current.
I think they're smoking hot.
They are, yes. Yeah, and I would really this is a whole different subject, but I wonder how this would have come off with Martha Byrne playing Lily. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't think they could have got away with it.
You don't think so?
I think it would have been explosive. It would have been great.
I think it would have, too. I think Martha Byrne could have handled
it. Fans would have been furious.
Then fans would just need to learn it's a soap. It has to be tension. They can't all be happy all the time.
And I totally think that Martha Byrne going up against Maura West.
Oh,
these
God.
Two.
Would have been, that would have been great. That would have been great.
They smoked his friends, so they surely would have smoked his enemies.
Martha yelling like she could do, screaming at Carly. I mean, it would have been. And then falling apart and going and taking 30 diet pills and doing something crazy. I mean, it would have been.
So I think it would have worked for either Lily, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good. And I'm surprised because I really wasn't a fan of this when it started out.
Me neither, but it's won me over. It's sneaky, it's skeevy, it's soap. That's what we want. We want to see people doing bad stuff.
Right.
that doesn't involve microchips in the brain or CGI.
I hear you there. Well, actually coming at number one is a slight variation on Mike's pick, and that was Jack, Carly, Holden, Lily, only because of the fact that once, yes, the initial triangle is Carly, Holden, and Lily, and that will be explosive. But once Jack finds out, it's going to be awesome. The four
it
of them,
is, but, you know,
the three, the triangle of Holden, Carly, and Jack, and the triangle of Lily, Holden, and Carly,
right?
Boy, that's going to be good stuff. And I cannot wait.
And you know Jack's going to be the biggest jerk.
Oh, yeah. And every time I watch Michael Park on screen, no one makes facial expressions of like pure consternation like Michael Park. It's hilarious watching him.
I don't know. Robert Newman, Josh, has the most righteous indignation. He just looks, when he gets like that, all like he's.
He had a good one last week when Reva or Carly said, or Carly, Reva or. Cassie said something.
Cassie.
Yeah, he made
that
some facial expression
like he needs
that was
some Malox.
Made me laugh.
A little bit of X-Lax, is that what he's needing?
Yeah.
A little bit of fiber?
Yeah.
Well, we would encourage you to email your comments about this episode or any other episode to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode on the blog and give me a hard time if you want, like my fellow co-hosts have, by dropping by daytimeconfidential.com or leave a comment on the comment line at 917-677-9757. Until next time, we thank you for listening. So long.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.